Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Friday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Awaiting baseball, which is going to be starting now in less than an hour. And we invited Glenn Dyer to come in and spend some time with us in our Eagle Hour studio today. Nobody covers baseball any better than him. And Glenn, welcome.
Guys, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Glad to have you back in the studio as always. Guys, we're less than an hour away from this big tournament out in Austin, Texas. Golden Eagles getting ready to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. And, well, Glenn, we wanted to invite you in, get your observations about this. Dima and I talking earlier today. We believe this Purdue team, probably pretty good, but very winnable for the Golden Eagles. We believe the team's very capable of competing all weekend long against these Power Four schools.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's a great opportunity to showcase your program to the nation, and even more so from a fan's perspective or somebody that's following the program. It's an opportunity for your team to face some premium arms, some premium bats in a hostile atmosphere, and just only, you know, prove to get them ready, you know, when conference comes around.
He didn't give us the details, but Oz told us earlier this week there's a good chance they're going to play in another tournament like this next year. My question is, though, what is the significance of being invited to this type of a baseball tournament?
Well, number one, I think it's just, you know, the respect and the recognition nationally for Southern Miss baseball. Number two, I mean, Southern Miss's fan base and the way they follow Southern Miss sports has become, you know, just as famous as well. These people know, you know, the bottom line is about making a buck, and they want people to travel. Southern Miss baseball fans travel. I mean, heard all day long, you know, I'm here, we're there, you know, people taking pictures and sending them into Twitter and whatever. The Southern Miss faithful is going to show up and be loud.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we heard that from Oz. He said if all the people show up who told me we're going to show up, we might, you know, have a pretty good contingent there. But you mentioned it, and again, there's no breaks in the schedule. You get that Southeastern Louisiana game on Tuesday, and then you have Purdue, Oregon State, Baylor on Sunday. You come back home, you play Alabama. Then the next week you got Louisiana Tech. Then you come back home and play, I think, Mississippi State the next game. So no breaks in the schedule, Glenn. Boilermakers at 2 o'clock. You know, me and you kind of broke down their pitching staff. I think the guy's name, Van Aysen, going today for the Boilermakers. What do you know about him? You know, what should Southern Miss expect from a pitcher for Purdue?
Not a guy who's going to, you know, wow you with power like maybe we saw with Santa Barbara. He's a sinker slider guy. I think he's a little bit in the vein of maybe Colby Allen. He's going to have that sinker at 90-92, then he's going to come with that slider, and those are primarily his two main pitches. He likes to fill the zone up and pitch to contact and let his defense work behind him. And his defense last year, I think they fielded around 980, so that's really good. And then that's, you know, kind of the way they play ball. They're not going to come out there and try to overwhelm you with arms.
The other thing about these national tournaments is, and Jay Ladner actually talked about it yesterday when it comes to basketball recruiting, why they're going to Iowa State, for example, is that when you have the quality program like Southern Miss does in baseball, and you go to Texas, I mean, Texas has a lot of good baseball players, right? And not far, too far to the west, you got New Mexico and Arizona, where you got some other players too. So you're taking that Southern Miss brand, that Southern Miss footprint, like they like to talk about, and expanding it nationwide and bringing that brand to the rest of the country and opening some eyes of baseball players that might not know a whole lot about Southern Miss. And the fact that the Eagles are getting invited to these prestigious tournaments should tell you something too, because these tournament directors could pick pretty much anybody they wanted. Right, and the fact that they have Southern Miss in that right hand of the top quality teams that they want to bring there, I mean, and we've said this almost ad nauseum, but when you talk about the athletic department as a whole, the baseball program has been so healthy and so sound and so consistent, it's really an AD's dream, you know, to be able to have a program in the situation that the baseball is in now.
No doubt. And, you know, what Fromoz told us, you know, they're well taken care of this weekend. They're going to have, you know, nice lodging, nice meals, things like that. And they're getting some money. I think they're paying for the travel, if I'm understanding that correctly, Glenn. So on top of all the things you're saying, Kelly, you're right. And then on top of that, they also, when they are invited, they kind of get taken care of pretty nicely. Yeah. On that.
Yeah, it's a first class setup.
So. Right. And so, I mean, that in and of itself, to be able to play teams such as Oregon State, Baylor, Purdue. Maybe Purdue doesn't help your RPI a lot, but playing Oregon State definitely will. On top of that, getting, you know, first class lodging, first class situation out there in Round Rock, Texas. I mean, they didn't give us as media members that first class access.
And of course, why would they? Right? Right. But Glenn, it's the first time we've had a chance to talk to you in a while. What did you take out of the series last weekend, Southern Miss and Cal Santa Barbara?
Just completely different games. I like the way that Southern Miss found ways to battle back. When they got punched in the mouth, they got back up and responded. You know, that's an old moniker from Scott Barry. You know, he always said, you know, when you get punched, get back in the middle of the ring and continue to battle, and good things are going to happen for you. And I mean, that's part of the Pete Taylor Park magic. Those guys are most dangerous seventh inning on.
No doubt. And you know what. On Tuesday night against Southeastern Louisiana, what did you see there? I thought a little bit of lack of plate discipline at the plate at times. 17 base runners, just three runs to show for it. But good teams find ways to win on the road, and Southeastern Louisiana, never an easy opponent to play on the road.
Yeah, like you said, there were, 17 guys on the base paths. You kind of question maybe the approach for the game and how the approach went, but you know, 11 strikeouts, so then you're concerned. But you also saw 9 walks as well, so you know, the approach was intact, you know, so to speak, to some degree. You just really never got that big hit, you know, executing that one big hit to get guys in or move guys over. I think going into the Santa Barbara series and what we saw at Southeast, it's early yet. Guys are getting their timing at the plate. You know, 92-mile-an-hour fastballs look like 95 right now. Just right now, I'd like to see guys focus a little more on executing. You don't have to get the huge hit. Put the ball in play backside. Lift a ball to get a guy, you know, over to another base. Bunt when you need to bunt. That's been a bugaboo. I'd like to see, you know, some execution in that regard.
Colby Allen on the mound today against the Boilermakers. Obviously, Oz has told us this, and I'm sure Gunnar Leger thinks this as well. Want to see some more extended length from his starters this weekend at Round Rock Classic. I expect Colby to bounce back from last week. And it's not like he had a bad week last week, of course. You know, probably a pitch away from leaving that game, you know, only a one-run game at that juncture. But, Glenn, I mean, do you expect bounce back weekends or days from all three of the starters this weekend?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I know, you know, Coach Oz sat down with all of them and said, look, this is not what we do. You know what's expected of you. With Colby, you know, he didn't have his best command. He certainly didn't have his best slider. The one he got hurt on was a slider way up in the zone that, you know, got some runs in. And he'd tell you that, you know, that ball was supposed to be down and away and off the plate. He just needs to get behind that slider a little bit and tighten it up a little bit, and he'll get it back.
You know, you're talking about the Southeastern game and how many people they walk. Southern Miss walk one person.
Yeah.
And that pitcher was immediately taken out of the game. Did that surprise you at all?
No. I mean, Oz has so many options available to him. If you're not hot right then, he's got somebody hot in the bullpen and getting ready mm-hmm. to come in.
And I know you've had the same experience in interviewing players like I have. The pitchers, there's no doubt that the pitchers on this baseball team understand if I walk somebody, I start throwing balls, I'm coming to the bench. There's just no toleration for walks, is there?
No, I mean, one of Oz's number one points is make the opponent beat us. Don't give any freebies.
Told me one time he'd rather see a pitcher give up a home run.
Yeah, I mean, take your best stuff and compete in the zone with it.
Yeah. But it's much more easy to be in that type of situation when you got 14 other guys who are really good.
Yeah. What impressed me, I think, as much as anything the other night is, you know, we were in the game for it. Now, three of the guys, I think, that pitched Tuesday night had pitched over the weekend some. But we got pretty deep into a ball game 4, and we're still seeing new faces come on the mound. And Glenn, everybody's throwing strikes.
Yeah, and you're going to continue to see new faces. There's a couple of probably four or five arms yet. Two of them big power guys throw 97, 98 that hadn't even pitched yet. So there's
You expect to see them this weekend?
I think one of the rehab guys was Logan Pratt. He tore a UCL in the elbow, had Tommy John. He's the closest one in terms of rehab. I think you could see him this weekend. He's big 6'5", 230 guy, throws it 95, 98, and you know, has a nice spin and change off of that. He has a chance to be a big power arm for Southern Miss, and he may get his feet wet this week. The other two guys are probably 2 to 3 weeks away in terms of finishing their rehab stint in terms of going back out there.
We've got Glenn Dyer here in the Eagle Hour studio with us on a Friday afternoon. Joey Urban, of course, has been a big, big bat. We're going to hear from him. And keep Glenn around. You're going to hang out with us today?
Oh, certainly.
All right, Glenn Dyer, everybody. Joey Urban, still to come. Stay with us. Super Talk Eagle Hour rolls along.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Welcome back. Second segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour every day is sponsored by Eagle Tire West. That's appropriate. Matt Warner and his staff invite you to see them down there for Goodyear products, full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West. Family owned and operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, and big Southern Miss supporters. And Glenn Dyer, I bet you remember Matt Warren on the mound for the Golden Eagles.
Oh, certainly. I bought a lot of tires for Mr. Warren.
Yeah, and that's where all Southern Miss fans ought to be going, right?
Yeah, Dynamite. They take care of me. I've been going there for 15 years.
Well, there you go. All right, one player that's just been a delight for Southern Miss baseball, and I think these guys would agree, is Joey Urban, who came to us from the Big East. I think he's actually from Jupiter, Florida. Big, big hit Tuesday night against Southeastern, and he's just been a clutch hitter, hasn't he, Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, he's your perfect two-hole guy, probably the best hit tool on the in the lineup. He can extend at bats. You get him in a two-strike situation, he can foul stuff off till he finds something he needs. You get a breaking ball, he can keep the bat back in the zone and punch it to the other side. And then if he gets a fastball, he can ambush, he can take it out of the park. So, yeah, it's nice to have him there in that spot where Monastir was. He may not put the power numbers up, but he can hit for average and probably, approach 10 home runs.
Had a chance to talk to Joey recently. Here's how that went. Okay, Joey Urban on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Joey, you're getting ready to start your senior year. What has this ride at Southern Miss been like for you?
It's been unbelievable. It's been a dream come true transferring here. Just everything about this place is special. The players, coaches, fans, every single person here is just always behind you, never doubting you, and I think it's just amazing to, see how many people are behind you here.
Watching the scrimmage today, this is a good hitting baseball team, but you guys were struggling against the pitching. How good is this pitching staff going to be?
What we saw today is going to be one of the better staffs we'll see all year, I believe. I think this pitching staff really has potential to be one of the best ones in the country. Obviously I'm going to be biased, but I think this, since we've been back from winter break, this is an unbelievable showing from the pitching staff.
You have a unique perspective that you played for another program. Put into your perspective what this program is like.
It's just, everyone's behind you. The coaches are just special. I mean, they know the game better than anyone I know. I've never been coached like this before, and I think they really put you in a good spot before a game, before practice. They really put you in the good headspace, and I think that's just overall like knowledge. I mean, Coach Oz is, to me, is the best, one of the best pitching coaches, one of the best head coaches, and I think that is a huge help.
All right, clearly you've come in here and made a big impact on the program and made a great contribution. What are your goals for this year, Jordan?
Obviously do my best I can. Kind of start up where I left off. You know, I just think helping out my team, always being there for them, just doing my job and not trying to be someone who I'm not, trying to be that person that I was last year, just getting as much extra base hits as I can, but at the same time still playing my game. I can bunt. I mean, just backside singles. I mean, whatever I can do to help my team, that's what I want to do.
How satisfied have you been with your performance since you became a Golden Eagle?
I have grown as not just as a player, but as a person. I mean, the respect level here is very well needed, and I think it's kind of changed me into a different person, not on the baseball field, or not only on the baseball field, out in the world. Like, I just think that the respect level we have to hold for these coaches, I think it's just unbelievable that I think everyone should be having to do this. I just think as a player, I've grown, obviously, tremendously. I mean, the numbers are there to show, and I think that my mindset, my just knowledge about the game has grown.
All right, team expectations and hopes for this season?
Obviously, we'd love to make it to Omaha, but I think the first thing we need to start off on is winning that conference. I think that needs to be our first task. Just taking step by step. Don't look too far ahead with Omaha and stuff like that. I think we need to worry about the conference at the moment.
Well, we're glad you're here. Congratulations on a great start, and best of luck to you this season.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Joey. Thank you. All right, Joey Urban, everybody. And you said during the break, big pickup, Glenn. You thought Urban was a great catch for the Golden Eagles 2 years ago.
Yeah, most definitely. And a really solid defender as well. He's taken this year and kind of – we interviewed him the first time, and he was a little apprehensive, you know. And this last time, after 12 months here, this last interview after the game this weekend, he's a completely different guy. He's assumed a leadership role, was so much more mature, kind of cemented his place with his team, you know. And he leads by example. So,
all right, guys, we're about 30 minutes away from the first pitch. Dima, Glenn, let's break down this Purdue baseball team we're about to play.
Yeah, we just we kind of went over them in the first segment, but obviously, you know, Big Ten team, Power Four team, not traditionally a great baseball school. They're 3-2 on the season, or 2-3, 2-2, something like that. They lost to Rice.
Pick a record.
Well, I couldn't remember if they 2-2. Sorry, they lost to Rice on Wednesday evening, 2-5, in the midweek. But now they're going to play Southern Miss tomorrow. They have a right-handed pitcher on the mound tonight, this afternoon. Van Assen is his last name, and you know, sits 89-92 with the fastball, kind of like Glenn said in the first segment, a lot like Colby Allen with the slider, tries to wipe out pitchers with that, batters with that. And so this is a game where the Golden Eagle lineup is going to have to be patient, try to get him out of the game. He threw 90 pitches last Friday, so he's a guy who's going to go deep for them if he can get them deep. The key is to get him out of the game for Southern Miss early. Their bullpen behind him isn't great at all. They played Portland in that Friday game. Purdue was actually up 3-0 on Portland going into the seventh inning, and when they pulled their starting pitcher, Portland won 9-3.
Well, that tells you a lot about their bullpen.
Tell you a lot about their bullpen.
All right, offensively, Glenn, is this team good?
They are. You're going to see three completely different offensive teams this weekend that Southern Miss will face. These guys are what I like to just call a small ball group. They stole over 100 bases last season, small athletic group. They can bunt. They can move runners over. They can hit and run. They take their walks. And they also at times crowd the plate, you know, in hopes of getting plunked by a pitch. You know, the key is for Colby, don't give up any freebies, keep the traffic off the base paths, and he should be fine.
Yeah. So not physically the size team as the Golden Eagles.
I think they hit 57 home runs last year total.
Yeah, not even. I don't think they hit 60. So yeah. Not a long ball team. They have two or three long balls this season. So obviously Southern Miss up at 7 or 8, right, already. So,
yeah.
You know, this is a completely different team. Seems like the team that Southern Miss can win, but obviously in baseball, as Oz says all the time, it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you don't play a clean game, you can lose to any team. We saw that on Tuesday night. Southern Miss, on paper, should be able to handle Southeastern Louisiana, and that was anybody's game in the ninth inning.
There's no question about that one, is
there?
So. And it was Urban that actually kind of helped out a lot Tuesday night, yeah?
Yeah, Seth Smith with that huge two-out single there to get that rally started.
That's an interesting player. We talked to Travis Creel about him yesterday. We're big fans of Seth Smith. Truth is, he'd probably be a starting shortstop on any other team in the Sun Belt. Am I right about that?
Yeah, correct. Or even second baseman. He's a premium defender. Good contact skills with a bat, not necessarily a big power guy, although he's probably put 20 pounds on his frame since he got to Southern Miss. He's easily 205 now. He came here about 175. But I kind of hurt for him because I mean, he's a good baseball player. He's got a little different tool set than maybe Ty's got. But also, if we see the second baseman falter any, that's a place where Seth could also end up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a great middle infielder.
So are – is shortstop and second base so locked down that you won't see Seth Smith play there unless someone is hurt or not playing well?
Not at all. And I think what he did the other night just, you know, probably puts questions in the coach's head as well, and mine certainly.
Yeah. I'll take you back to the regionals last year too. You know, he came in late in that game against Miami. He hadn't played much at all. He never missed a lick. I mean, I just think he's a very smooth, very polished player that can make a big contribution.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him in there sooner than later in some capacity.
Well, Travis told us on Wednesday, right, when he said that Seth would have started that game in Southeastern if it wasn't a left-handed pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Ty Long has been doing very well there also at shortstop. I mean, obviously a homer, a big home run against UC Santa Barbara last Saturday, and he's been fine in that nine hole. And really the question to me for the lineup in particular is what they're going to do on the leadoff. You know, I don't necessarily think they have a leadoff batter yet, whether or not it's Morrison, whether or not it's Stelly, whether or not you could kind of just – put a guy there, and so that to me is the question mark. But of course, they're only four games in, so it's not like they have to have it figured out today against Purdue. But yeah. So
right now, and early on, one place I don't think we're what we were last year, but I guess it's an unfair comparison is center field.
Oh yeah,
I think that shot that the California team got Sunday after we dropped the pop up, I believe last year that ball's caught.
Well, I think there was a ball hit against Southeastern Louisiana, the ball that got in the gap that got them going. I was thinking to myself,
Cook would have gotten that.
Yeah, Cook wouldn't have even he would have just pulled up, you know, and caught it easily. But those guys were premier defenders.
He was Superman. Let's just be honest. He was Superman.
But Urban and Stelly have been fine out there.
Yeah, they're good. They're solid. No question.
Cook's a legit 4-4 sprinter.
When we come back, we'll break down Oregon State and Baylor as the big tournament's just a few minutes away from getting underway. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back. DBAT sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. DBAT on Hardy Street, where you can get great baseball, softball training. Our good friends at Forest Healthcare remind you that keeping up with your team is fun, but you're the most important player, so you be sure you get an annual physical. Stay close to your doctor and be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Want to say a quick hello to our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg and Mobe Beignet Company. Very grateful for their sponsorship of our program. Also grateful that we've got Glenn Dyer in the Eagle Hour studio with us today, and always a pleasure having Glenn on the show. All right, guys, so let's break it down. We've talked about Purdue, then Saturday evening, maybe 5 or 6 o'clock, Golden Eagles take on Oregon State, and that's a different kettle of fish, isn't it, Damon?
Yeah, and one thing I do want to mention is it was just reported yesterday. This is the Sun Belt Baseball News reported yesterday. Coastal Carolina starter Cameron Flukey, you know, he's been dealing with a little bit of a tough issue. He's not going to be going for them this weekend, injury issue. But Dom Carbone, who was one of their best players out of the bullpen, announced yesterday out for the season with a UCL tear. So that is ginormous news in the Sun Belt baseball that was announced yesterday from Coastal Carolina. Glenn, I mean, that's probably their best arm out of the pen.
Yeah, and a premium stopper on the backside, and feel bad for him. That's a 12-month rehab for the young man.
All right, gentlemen, and we'll start with you, Glenn. You're our guest today. Break down the Beavers. That's who the Eagles will be facing on Saturday evening.
Yeah, I mean, perennial Omaha participant, considered one of the top five or six pitching staffs in the country. They're probably going to get their All-American lefty, who's 90-94 with his fastball and has a big wipeout slider. So just, you know, a great baseball team that's, you know, I think they were picked in the top 10 already preseason, and they hadn't disappointed. I think they're 4-0, and the pounded Arizona and Michigan, and in those starts their pitching staff rolled up 18 strikeouts and 12 strikeouts, you know, respectively against those two opponents. So that'll be the most legit team that Southern Miss has faced in quite some time.
And offensively, are they a power hitting team like the Eagles?
They had 110 homers last year.
Yeah, so they can swing it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the only question mark for them is they've had to replace the middle of that lineup, the heart of that lineup that provided most of that power. Two of those guys got drafted, you know, high picks. So, you know, they're looking to see what those new additions and guys through the portal, you know, that they've brought in will do in that lineup. And so far, so good, right, Dima?
No doubt about it. And you mentioned it right there, right? That probably the most legit team Southern Miss has faced in quite some time. I mean, this team, you know, I think you can compare them to Tennessee when Southern Miss went up there for that regional.
Good comparison. As far as,
you know, blue blood baseball program, I don't think Southern Miss has faced a team like that in a long time. I mean, outside of maybe some midweeks against State and Ole Miss, who weren't very good over the last few seasons, this is a legit College World Series team. But all that to be said, if Southern Miss wants to claim themselves to be elite in college baseball, you should expect to compete, if not beat, Oregon State in a neutral site game.
I think they will compete with Oregon State.
Yeah, I do too. I'm just saying – I'm saying all of that to say that they are good, but, hey, Southern Miss also has Colby Allen, Graydon Harris, Camden Clark, Matthew Russo. Like, Southern Miss is at a point now where you don't see the Oregon State on your schedule and say, that's a sure loss.
Yeah, they won't
agree with that. I agree with that completely.
And here's something that kind of gets lost in the shuffle too. We've talked about basketball. It's all about getting that seed, right, for the tournament in Pensacola. But in baseball, it's all about the RPI. So there's going to be some games that Southern Miss loses. And there were times last year that the Eagles lost and actually improved.
This could be one of those games.
Their RPI. Oh, yeah, so I just throw this out to the fan base to not panic if the Eagles happen to hit a streak here or there where they're not going to win every single game, because you take into account that schedule, because the Tournament Selection Committee and the NCAA is going to reward Southern Miss for playing teams like this. So don't get focused long run on the record. Be focused on the RPI. Because I said, it is not unusual for you to lose a game but actually improve.
I think that's a good point, Kelly.
Your RPI.
And Glenn, this could be one of those games. You could literally, either team lose the game and improve their RPI.
Yeah, no issue there. And it's a, you know, been there, done that kind of scenario too. Once you've played them, there's nobody on the rest of your schedule or come tournament time that you're going to be remotely intimidated by.
Correct.
Yeah, and I think it goes into the fact of Southern Miss, you know, stacking this non-conference schedule to get that RPI up with UC Santa Barbara. Like right now, you know who's the biggest UC Santa Barbara fan? Christian Ostrander.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You know, who's the biggest Purdue fan or Oregon State fan or Baylor fan? Christian Ostrander, after they beat them, of course. But because of the reason of the conference, the Sun Belt Conference, maybe not being as strong this year, we're seeing that. Troy, not off to a good start, who's supposed to be the third best team in the league. Coastal Carolina, like we just mentioned, was reported yesterday. Their starting pitcher, he's hurt. He's out for an undisclosed amount of time. And then their best reliever, Alfred. I mean,
and they got beat Tuesday night.
Correct. So there's a potentiality here for Southern Miss sweeping these conference series to lower their RPI, right? So that's why you want to play these games in the beginning against State, Ole Miss, Louisiana Tech, Oregon State, to make sure your RPI is high enough where when you're playing bottom of the tier Sunbelt teams and beating them, you're beating them, but your RPI is going down at the same time.
Well, if Oregon State has a pitcher better than the one I saw last Friday night, I want to watch him pitch because I don't think you can get much better than that. All right, third team in the tournament, Baylor. Glenn, the Baylor Bears.
Team two previous seasons, or going back three, they were sub 500 teams. Last year, they plus 11, you know, over the 500 mark. Their coach got a new pitching coach who really changed the dynamic for those guys. They went from like 119 nationally to 29 in just one season on the mound in terms of ERA. It's a staff that's going to, you know, the guys seem to have a whole lot of same game plan as Oz. Pound the zone, don't give anything cheap. You know, believe in your stuff and compete. Fill the zone up and attack, and that's, you know, that's what's going to happen there. It's kind of a team on the rise, Dima. I mean, I went back and looked at some of the scores. They're averaging like 10.2 runs a game through four games. I mean, I know that's a small group there, but you know, that's impressive that they'll be hit swinging it like that out of the gate.
And really, when you look at Baylor is associated with the Southern Baptist Convention. You've got a lot of private school, a lot of schools that have religious affiliations, and the one thing they all seem to have in common is they don't lack any money, right? I mean, BYU with the Latter-day Saints, Liberty.
Dallas Baptist.
All of those, you know, TCU, SMU.
And good programs, too.
Yes, but they certainly don't come, you know, for a shortage of funds.
Yeah.
So a Baylor has always been really good, consistent athletic program across the board. They're not a baseball school, basketball school, or a football school. They're an athletic school. They take a lot of pride in what they're doing. So I couldn't agree with Glenn Moore that this Baylor team is a team on the rise.
No doubt. And when you think of Baylor in the sense of, you know, baseball, of course, not a traditional baseball school, right, like Kelly was saying. But I think the increase in interest in baseball over the past several seasons, especially in the South, teams like Baylor, teams like, you know, Cincinnati, who beat Auburn the other night, teams like that, they're going to start going up, especially with the NIL, which is why Southern Miss, you know, hopefully is in such a great spot right now. It's not going to affect them. But when the interest in the sport continues to go up, these Power Four schools with all this money, you'll see them continue to rise too. Baylor right now, you know, they started their season 4-0. You know, the kid, their 4-0 hitter, I'm forgetting his name, Tunsmere, or what is his name?
No, he's their first baseman. They got him from Grand Valley.
Yes, yes. Anyway, but three grand slams in the opening day.
That's pretty remarkable.
That's insane.
National hitter of the week.
Right, yeah. So three grand slams. So, but like I'm saying, they can go out and get those guys with the money they have, like Kelly was saying. And I think that's a testament to the interest in college baseball continuing to elevate more and more and more. I mean, you're seeing these parks being just sellouts everywhere, and the interest is starting to go up even more than it was 5 years ago.
And it's safe to say when that kid is 75 and has his grandchildren on his knee, he's going to go, do you know I hit three grand slams in one weekend? Right? I mean, would you ever forget that? I wouldn't.
No.
One day. It was one game.
One game?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. One game? Are you serious?
One game.
Has that ever been done before?
That's kind of Danny Lynch-ish a little bit.
Yeah,
huh?
For real. Danny had two, right? And Slade had two one time in one game. I don't remember ever
but
three.
This guy didn't have the cachet Danny Lynch had now.
I don't think he bat flipped Louisiana.
No,
that's
and he didn't wiggle up at the plate quite like Danny did.
Goat yoga. Yeah. Kelly just did some goat yoga, and he had a little bit of an issue.
Yeah. Kelly Center, in case you would like to know what that's about, has, believe it or not, split his pants.
Yeah, I ripped my britches. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, and you may actually have to go buy a pair of pants. Is that right?
What'd you say?
I said you might have to buy a pair of pants.
Speak English.
Oh, well, they're having a fire sale at the Salvation Army tomorrow.
Now we're talking.
You're a regular. They know you by first name.
And the thing is, I paid $6 for these.
Well, there is duct tape.
7 years ago.
Well,
just duct tape.
All right, so with inflation, I paid $8 for them. You know,
Glenn, can you explain why we put him on the show? Because sometimes people ask me, and I don't really have an answer.
Well, you're talking about cachet. I mean, there it is, right there.
Cachet.
I just don't know what kind of cachet it is.
No, I have photographs. I have photographs that will remain in the drawer as long as I'm on this show.
Yeah, I can't fire him, Glenn. I've wanted to many a time, but there's just a little problem there. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the Friday edition and get ready for Golden Eagle Baseball. Glenn Dyer, stay with us. Hang around, everybody. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank our good friends at MCS Home Center for their sponsorship of our program. Hank Lott and his family are wonderful people. MCS Home Center is a beautiful home improvement store out on Highway 98 West. Home repair, home remodeling, home construction. They've got everything you need for your next project. It doesn't matter if it's inside or outside. We greatly appreciate all that MCS Home Center does. Glenn, we appreciate you being here today, and pretty exciting stuff about to take place. It is just a few minutes away now.
Oh, no doubt, and I appreciate it. I enjoy it every time with you guys.
All right, Damon, have you got any news and notes, or is it all baseball on a Friday afternoon?
Well, yeah, we got basketball this
weekend.
There we
go. Of course, talk about that. That's
yeah, right. Men's basketball hosting Old Dominion tomorrow at 2 p.m., and I think the women play tomorrow as well, right, Kelly?
South Al. Troy. Troy. And then they will finish the season. They've got just a couple games after that. But, yeah. You know, they've won the first game of that road trip, and we had Missy Bilderback on the show earlier this week, and she said we can get 3 out of 4.
They can, maybe.
We think we can get into that 6th seed that Dima has talked about as kind of the golden egg other than being number one.
Now, I know they finish in the year on the road. Is that the case with the men? I know they play tomorrow here.
Yes.
Are they back on the road?
No, last two are on the road.
Yes.
For the men.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's tomorrow against Old Dominion, and then I think a Tuesday, Thursday against Arkansas State and South Alabama.
So these are the last home games of the year.
So tomorrow's
day, right?
The last. Yeah senior day is tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
And then the women play at 1 tomorrow against Troy, like you said, on the road. And then they have 2 road games next week at South Alabama as well. And then, who's the other one next week?
Arkansas State?
No. I'll get it in a second.
Oh,
but
Louisiana Monroe.
Louisiana Monroe, yes. Yeah. Sometimes all these schedules just run together, and you're just like,
And the softball team's in action over the weekend.
Yes, they play Louisiana Tech today, and then in that 3-game series. And so we'll see what happens out there in Ruston.
So timing is such, you could go to the basketball game, and then you could get home to watch Oregon State and Southern Miss play baseball.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a 5 p.m. first pitch tomorrow.
And right? In case people don't know, and I'm sure most do by now, but D1 has a streaming service available. And for $29.99, you get the whole tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And
you get 4 tournaments.
Yeah, you do. You get,
yeah, you
four
get all four.
Of course, the one we're interested in is this weekend.
I'll
play $30 to watch Southern Miss play baseball 3 times every weekend, Glenn, if I have to.
Amen.
Yeah. And this, I think I've got this trivia right, and maybe you can Google this right quick, Dima, but the trivia question is, what famous coming-of-age movie in the late 70s, early 80s was filmed on the campus at Oregon State? Do you know what I'm talking about, Glenn? Huh? Yes. I think he mouthed the answer. Animal House.
Oh, really?
Toga.
Yeah, those.
Is that right?
Yeah, those
Oregon State
fraternity houses and all all those buildings and things were filmed at Oregon State.
I thought you were going to get some new pants.
I will after the show.
Yeah, the Salvation Army's open until 6. He'll be okay. Fair to say, guys. Last question about Oregon State: the best team on the West Coast traditionally would be Oregon State
and UCLA.
UCLA, Oregon. Oregon's always a really good baseball team.
Great baseball.
UCLA. Yeah, I wouldn't say Oregon State's the best.
I got you. But the schools out on the West Coast, sort of like the Southeast in a sense that they play a little different brand of baseball,
sure.
I think, but very good college baseball.
I would say they're very pitch heavy, right? You get a lot of good pitchers out there, California, Oregon,
and a lot of
Washington.
Small balls.
Just look at that conference we just finished playing, man.
Sure.
That Big West.
UC Santa Barbara,
I mean,
right.
Going to have back-to-back first pitchers taken probably out of that conference.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've seen good pitching already.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, probably no better this weekend than what we've already seen.
No,
if you're
no.
looking at Santa Barbara, right?
They won't be intimidated by that. It's just a chance to test your mettle against the best in the country.
You know, Glenn, I don't think they're intimidated by anything.
No, not at all.
I think when you're watching a game like Tuesday night and it's 1-1 in the 9th inning, I sometimes think I'm the only one here that's nervous. The players aren't nervous at all.
No, those are older guys, man, and it kind of makes me think back to, you know, even when I hear the moniker a mid-major associated with Southern Miss.
It's a joke.
It's an insult to me because they can play with anybody in the country.
Well, I think a lot of Power Four coaches openly say that too. I read an article just earlier this month. Mike Bianca said virtually the same thing. They do everything every Power Four school we play all year does, so they shouldn't be called a mid-major.
Right. You could drop them into the SEC right now, and they're going to play with that just fine.
I think you're 1,000% right. All right, predictions?
I say they get 2 of 3. I don't think they're going to beat Oregon State with a lefty on the mound. That just seems to always be Southern Miss's kryptonite, with a lefty who throws hard, and that just seems to always be their kryptonite. But I think they'll beat Purdue and Baylor, so I think they'll get out of this 2 and 3, which is, you know, fine. I think that's what you would – you'd be fine with that.
Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's better than fine. That's a huge feather in your cap to come out of that tournament, you know, with a winning record. So no. I think that'd be huge.
You like two out of three, well. Kelly?
Yeah, I think reasonably you have to say 2 out of 3.
I think so. And I do think, though, the two games, I think Purdue and Baylor will be competitive. Yeah. I don't think Southern Miss is going to go steamroll anybody there.
But again, the record is not as important as the RPI.
Right.
And I think sometimes we're just so conditioned –
It's a win-win weekend for the
Bowl. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You just don't want to go 0-3.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to go 0-3, but it's not at all a killer if you go 1-2.
All right, lots of good Southern Miss sports to follow the week. Glenn, great pleasure to have you do the show with us today.
Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
Really appreciate it. We'll be back Monday, and until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.